Earlier this summer in New York, you could visit a recreation of Jerry's apartment from Seinfeld. It was a real-life version of a fictional apartment, and people lined up for hours to stand inside a set that they had only ever seen on television. What other kind of architecture inspires that level of devotion? I asked Studio 360's Eric Molinsky to talk with some veteran sitcom set designers to figure out exactly how they get us hooked on these familiar fantasy spaces.
Glenda Rovella wanted to be a set designer when she was younger, but she wasn't sure if she wanted to go into film or theater. Then one day she was flipping channels and she came across an episode of Frasier, and she became fascinated by the set.
It's sort of nice out, isn't it?
Sort of nice? My God, haven't you people noticed this? It's incredible. Dad, you should feel this. It's 80 degrees outside and it's the middle of February.
The furniture was modern but classy. The architecture was full of curves. And the big view of Seattle out the window didn't look fake.
You'll notice in a lot of sets they don't have that much glass, and that has to do with a kind of a fearless production designer and the cinematographer. That was really courageous on both their parts.
Production designer John Schaffner agrees.
I always have to do hats off to Roy Christopher, who was the designer of Frasier. Because he really did, I think, more than anybody else, take advantage of the big Seattle view and put it out the window.
Yes, it is glorious. It defies you not to take a moment to acknowledge the power that created it.
Thank you, global warming.
That view is actually a flat photograph. It requires special lighting to give it a sense of depth, but never have the light reflect on the glass, which is tough to do. Frasier went off the air over 10 years ago, but the principles of making a great set are still the same. A production designer has to make you believe that there is a whole world beyond three walls and no ceiling. At the same time, the set has to feel so cozy, you're happy to watch the characters be stuck there for years. And we, the viewer, are usually not part of the live studio audience. We are many steps removed. So when Glenda Rovella starts working on a new sitcom, the first thing she thinks about is how to create a sense of depth.
A lot of it is about movement. And so when I first start reading a script, you can almost look at my scripts and you'll see the doodles, and it's almost like a Venn diagram.
A veteran set designer once told her to think of her sets as Swiss cheese. That's how she designed the diner and the apartment on Two Broke Girls. The characters are always weaving in and out of standalone set pieces.
I want to take a picture of this bad tip and put it on Instagram. Getting loose change used to be so depressing, but now I can share it with strangers.
Let me sum it up. Twitter is stupid, and Instagram is Twitter for people who can't read.
And she likes to add extra doors and little spaces for the cast and crew to discover over time.
A lot of people call it business, you know, like give them business camera right, give them business upstage. It's being able to allow action in different places just so it's not so monotonous that they're always going to the sofa because there's nowhere else to go.
When I presented the original design for Friends, we did the hallway outside the apartment. They said, "Why, we don't need all that for the pilot." I said, "I know, but aren't the boys going to live across the hall?" So everybody went, "Oh, yeah." Likewise, there was a little door up the hallway there that sooner or later we discovered was Monica's, you know, secret closet where she had a mess for being such a neatnik.
How did you get in there?
You're messy.
John Schaffner still uses the old-fashioned method of building scale models out of paper before getting approval.
I know we're working a lot in, you know, images on computers, and we can walk through spaces and we can do lots of great stuff, but it's not quite the same thing as having a little paper model, because I can't tell you how many times I've taken the little paper model and said, "I get it," and I rip off a wall and said, "Why don't we put this door over on this side?" And then everybody has a little, "Oh yeah, that's cool."
That gives him more time to focus on keeping the set alive, which is basically making sure the same props aren't there week after week.
I always think back to one sitcom in particular, Happy Days, where it seemed like the ketchup and mustard was glued to the tabletop and nothing ever changed.
We can't even sit down. Arnold put in a 50-cent minimum.
Hey, figures.
What are you going to do about it, Fonz?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I watched a lot of Happy Days when I was a kid, but I never noticed that because my TV was a cathode ray tube and our reception came through a handheld antenna. Now, high-definition cameras and flat-screen TVs pick up everything.
How I respond to that is that I use more real materials.
Glenda Ravello.
When we had a cupcake shop, we had to build a counter, and I got a real piece of marble slab. The actors act on it differently. I don't have to overcompensate for something that's not real. I already know it looks real because it is.
I have no idea what most of these desserts are. I haven't felt this loss since the finale of Lost.
Production designers are also using digital technology to make the sets feel more expansive. They can use green screens or blue screens as a backdrop and then add the backgrounds in post-production.
We can create a part of a park, and instead of depending on a painted backdrop like we used to do, now we can just hang a blue screen in there and continue the park. And that would have been impossible 3 years ago. Not impossible, but more painful than you would wish.
But there's another reason why production designers are trying so hard to innovate. Sitcoms have serious competition from single-camera comedies. So in Hollywood, traditional sitcoms are known as multi-camera comedies because there are several cameras on set recording the scene from different angles. That's why Monica's apartment in Friends was so big. They had to fit four cameras on dollies and six main characters in the same room at once. Single-camera comedies like Modern Family, 30 Rock, or Scrubs don't have to worry about that stuff. They're not filmed before a live studio audience.
In a single camera, they'll go to Las Vegas. They'll go to Disneyland, like Modern Family.
You guys want to go on Matterhorn?
Luke, I think me and your dad are going to sit this one out. Maybe get one of them big pickles.
No. You're going to have to eat that pickle on your own, Jay. I still got a few good years left. Luke, wait up! I'll race you there!
For a multi-camera, since it's in front of an audience, I have to build those.
Single-camera comedies became so popular about 10 years ago. The conventional wisdom was that sitcoms like Friends would become a relic. But traditional sitcoms have thrived, partially because we crave the comfort of those sets, which have to do so much heavy lifting to evoke an entire world. I mean, what did Liz Lemon's apartment look like on 30 Rock? I don't know. But Frasier's apartment, I could draw that right now.
I think the greatest thing about a multi-camera sitcom is that it gives you permission to laugh and relax and enjoy it. It's honest to God, I think it's easier to watch.
When I was a kid, my favorite sitcom was Cheers, and they hardly ever left the bar. I mean, Norm barely left his seat.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey! If Cheers were being made today, we'd have to see them walking around Boston Common, going to Fenway Park, driving on the Mass Turnpike. Would that make the show funnier? Probably not. But this is the challenge for TV sitcom set designers: to capture the increasing chaos of our daily lives in the 21st century, while at the same time bringing viewers back to a dependable, comfortable space where all of life's problems can be solved in under 30 minutes. For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
So, what sitcom sets have you loved the best? After growing up watching The Brady Bunch, did you maybe buy a house that reminded you of the Bradys? Let us know at studio360.org. And while you're there, you can see an architect's floor plans of some of TV's famous spaces.